This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Waiting. Sometimes it feels awkward. Sometimes it's a little bit confusing. Sometimes waiting is annoying, and sometimes waiting can be angering. We don't really know how to wait that well. We live in a world where you can get what you want when you want it, and so having to wait for something is a difficult thing for us. You know, we see it all over the place. Maybe you've experienced this in your own life. Maybe you're one of those people, when the train comes, you get up to the road, and then you're saying, I'm going to do a U-turn, turn around real quick to get down to the next exit to Ridgeway where I can go under and I don't have to wait for the train. I'm just going to go down and I can pass it. Maybe you're the kind of person that when you get to the restaurant, back when we used to eat at restaurants, and there's a wait, you say, well, let's go to a different restaurant because I don't want to wait for this wait. But the truth is, there's probably going to be a wait at the other restaurant because it's Friday night. And so by the time you get into the other wait line, it's about the same amount of time. Which one of those people are you? Do you want to go somewhere else, or do you want to just wait it out? Well, none of us really like to wait. That's why we have prepared meals and fast food and even pre-washed lettuce these days. We're a microwave culture. We don't even want to wait for our hands to dry. That's why we have now accelerators in the restroom that can force massive amounts of air over our hands so that we don't have to wait. Meanwhile, we're creating tornadic vectors of bathroom air, and we don't have any concern about that, right? Gross. What happens when you go to the doctor? You go to the waiting room, and you wait. And I don't really know why they call them patients, because they usually lack patience. It's a difficult thing to have to wait. Now, in the airport, it's just a whole experience of waiting if you're going to take a flight, right? What do? You drive, you have to wait to check your bag, and then you have to wait in that security line, and then you have to wait in a new line because you had to dump out your water or coffee when you went through security, and then you get down to the gate, and there you wait. And then they say, well, we're ready to go, but they're not really ready to go because you got to get in line, whether you're sitting in a certain specific seat or you're in a zone, and you got to wait. And everybody wants to get on the plane first. You want to be the first ones in to get the best seat if you're not having an assigned seat. And so you do the plane ride, then you wait to get to the destination. And then as soon as the plane lands and as soon as the door, the bell rings and you're able to stand up, people stand up, even people all the way in the back. I always sit down because I know, look, I don't want to have to stand up. But the awkward part is when the guy sitting next to you, if you're in the middle seat and he's sitting next to you in the window seat, stands up and is standing over you because he's too tall. And so you've got a guy over you waiting. He's going, why don't you just sit down? It's going to be a couple minutes. Because we all got to a destination at the same time. And guess what? We're going to walk off the plane in turn, and we're going to go to the baggage claim. And there we will wait a little bit more, won't we? We'll wait for our bag. But everyone crowds around that first spot where the bags come out because we don't want to have to wait. Then you finally get your bags and you're off and you're ready to go, right? And then what do? You got to wait for a cab. You got to wait for Uber. Wait for your mom to come pick you up. We're waiting all the time. It's so hard. And we're waiting right now, aren't we? Aren't we in a time of waiting? We're waiting for the virus either to come or to go. We're waiting to be let out of our houses. We're waiting to come back to gather as the church. We're waiting to be able to have the normal rhythms that we so long for. We're waiting for the economy to start cranking up and to get going again so that we can function, that those of us who have suffered because of the economy can get back in the right standing. We're waiting. In the text today, the psalmist, David, says, wait for the Lord. That's what we're doing, is we're waiting. We're asking God to help us through this moment, to be with us, to bring about the things that we want. But David says to wait for the Lord. Be strong, let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord. We're forced to wait. We may not like it, but it's what we have to live with. In the book of Hebrews, there's a great faith hall of fame, and one of the verses in there talks about Abram and Sarah, who were waiting. God had made a promise to them. 11:11 in Hebrew says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, even though he was old, and Sarah herself was barren, she was not able to have children, even though he was old, he was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. In other words, Abraham believed that God was faithful who had made a promise. So they're waiting, but they're also believing in the promise of God. This promise that God says to them, I'm going to give you many children. If you remember, God told Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, this wasn't a political promise. He wasn't going to be a president. He wasn't going to be a king. This promise of being a great nation meant that he was going to have a lot of children, that he would have descendants, that there would be a multitude of people who would come after him, and that's what would make him a great nation. You see, children in those days were a sign of God's favor, and if you were barren, that was a sign of a curse of God. And here they were moving on in their years, and they had no children, but God had promised them some. At one point, Abram, he starts to wonder. In Genesis chapter 15, God appears to him in a vision and says, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, I'm your reward, it will be very great. Well, Abram's probably saying, well, that's great, you know, Lord, but I'm not really feeling it. I'm 75 years old. You've made this promise to me about having children, and I have no children. And every time someone comes by and says, hey, nice to meet you, what's your name? I say, Abram. And they say, oh, that means father of many. Well, let me see your children. And every time I have to say, I don't have any. I'm waiting. And we can resonate with that right now. You know, we know that God is good. We know that God is going to care for his people. He's seen us through many different things. He's seen you many different things. But we know that waiting is hard. And there's a lot of uncertainty that we still face. We're struggling in some ways. We're hoping that we flatten the curve and that that's going to be a good thing, but we still don't know what it really means for us in the long run, and we don't know what's happening this week. Many of the schools in Tennessee, including Woodland, decided not to come back. The school year is not essentially over because there's still learning going on, but they're not going to come back and gather. And we're wondering, well, when are we going to be able to be in the sanctuary together as a people? And so we're waiting. We're asking, what, God, are you doing? Now, just to encourage you, or maybe even to challenge you, as I'm thinking about what is it that God you are doing, I'm thinking about what does it mean for us to be the church in a scattered way? What does it look like for us? Maybe they say in some amount of months, well, you can gather in 25 or 50 or 100. What does that look like for us? What would it look like for us to gather as the church in smaller groups in different places, even if we can't be here, so that we would be able to be together, but that we might invite other people in our neighborhoods or our friends to gather as the church in a new way? We're wanting to listen to God and say, Lord, what are you wanting to teach us in this moment as to what it means to be the church? How are we thinking about these things? How are we wanting to share the love of Christ with those in our neighborhoods in different ways? You know, often we ask God, say, we want you to do what you used to do. We want to bring things back to normal. I just want it to go back the way that it was. And God either says no or just simply doesn't answer. We're waiting. Well, we can learn from Abram and Sarah what not to do because they took matters into their own hands. You remember the story? Sarah told Abram to take his concubine, Hagar, and to have a child, and the consequences of that union devastated their family. You could argue that the consequences of that decision are still being felt today through conflict in the world. There was hurt, there was heartache, there was jealousy. But God eventually did provide a son for them in the way that he had promised, and that son was Isaac. But they had to wait. And so do we. So do you. Henry Nouwen says, a waiting person is a patient person. He writes, the word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in belief that something hidden there will manifest itself. Impatient people are always expecting the real thing to happen somewhere else and therefore want to go somewhere else. Nouwen is saying that the hidden thing is there and will manifest itself if simply we look and listen and wait. There's a sense in which waiting means nurturing the moment in which we are in right now, living in that moment, is a challenging thing to do. So there's an aspect of it that's passive because we're waiting, but it's not completely passive. There's an activity that takes place, and David lets us know. He says that we are called to be strong and to let our hearts take courage. The Old Testament word for wait comes from a root word that means to twist or to stretch, like the tension in a rope. It's close to the word for a spider's web or a thread. And you think about a spider's web, that's really a picture of waiting, isn't it? We have in our backyard sometimes these spiders. They make these beautiful circular webs that are connected to trees, to walls, to the outside. And in but a half an hour, a masterpiece of artwork is created by a spider in our backyard. And then what happens? Well, the spider goes to the center of that web and begins to wait. But they're not just sitting there, not paying attention. Because if you've ever seen what happens when a fly goes into a spider's web, it's an instantaneous reaction because a spider can feel that something has been caught in the web, and it quickly goes out to that bug, that insect, to wrap it up, to eat it. It's this active waiting, not waiting to get to the next moment, but to be present in the moment that exists, to be ready to respond when essentially the promise is fulfilled, the promise that there is going to be something come along to get stuck in that web. And when the prey is caught, they must respond, but only with the expectant waiting that they've undergone. Well, God cultivates a heart of patience in us when he makes us wait. See, you don't develop patience by getting what you want as soon as you want it. Actually, that just makes it harder to wait for things. If you get what you want when you want it, it's more difficult to wait. Think about how fast things are. Many of us, the reason that we're even able to watch this service online is because we have high-speed internet. Do you remember, it must have been 100 years ago back when we were doing dial-up? There is no way that we could have experienced this kind of a connection in our community on dial-up. And maybe that's why we're so impatient. And yet God calls on us to wait. Psalm 27 again says, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. So in this parallelism where we see wait for the Lord, there are these two ideas. Be strong, let your heart take courage. What does it mean to be strong? What does it mean? We usually think of physical strength, someone that's able to lift a lot of weights. Some people are naturally strong, but the way that you gain more physical strength is to exert the muscles in a repeated fashion, lifting heavy weights so that the muscle fibers are torn down, and that while you rest and the nutrients that you eat, namely protein, will build those muscles strong so that when you repeat that same exercise, you're able to lift more or to lift longer, you've gained physical strength. But it takes a breaking down of those muscles in order for you to be strong. Something has to be broken down. What about mental strength? How do we gain mental strength in our lives? Well, we train our minds for different situations. We prepare ourselves. We rehearse our thoughts. We experience challenges. And then we reflect and say, okay, how could I have done that differently? What would have been more effective in that moment for me to deal with that and to gain mental toughness or mental strength? What about emotional strength in a time where sometimes we feel overwhelmed by this crisis? A great sense of sadness, the things that we're missing out on, the lost moments, the uncertainty, all those anxious things that create and stir up emotions in us. And those are all totally natural. We're going to have to process those together. How do we gain emotional strength? Well, it's when we have a moment, right? We have a come apart, you know? And then we gather ourselves and we're able to say, okay, what was going on in my heart, in my emotions that led me to respond in that way? And we learn from it. When we break down, we're able to be built back up. That's what it means to be strong. What about growing spiritually? Well, one of the ways that we grow spiritually that we've been exploring all year long in spiritual formation in this Renovation of the Heart series is growing spiritually, gaining strength in our spiritual life so that when we face challenging situations, when we face uncertainty or difficulty or sadness, we're able to be a stronger, more faithful person. Of course, we're not going to be perfect. We're not getting it right every time. No one is. But we're getting better. We're getting more like Christ, increasingly in constant measure. You see, when we wait upon God, it gives us the opportunity to grow spiritually. We're not constantly thinking about what I've got to do next or what's coming, because we have the opportunity to live in this moment. Like Nouwen says, that something is going to be revealed, something will be manifest in that moment that God wants me to connect to learn from, to appreciate and to value so that I can grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally. So what is God doing in your life to shape you to become a person of patience, a person of peace, a person of kindness, and a person of care? In many ways, we've had to let go of our schedules. We've had to let go of our agendas and many of our plans. Of course, the Bible says to make plans. That's a good thing. But we also know that the Bible says many are the plans of a man's heart, but God will direct his or her steps. God has redirected our steps in a different way. And if we believe that God is sovereign and good, then we also know that he has something for us to learn, something for us to celebrate and to consider. And so we want to do that. We want to wait upon the Lord. The Message is a translation or a paraphrase of the Bible. In 8:24, Romans says, "Waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother." We are enlarged in the waiting. You think about a woman who is pregnant, you're waiting. There's no pushing that forward, right? There's going to be a moment when it happens, and it's up to the Lord to decide when that takes place. But there's no diminishment because you're waiting, because we know that God is working to grow that child to be just the right age for when it is born. So we are to be strong in our waiting. Be strong in our waiting. That means using this time of waiting to grow in our faith. Again, with spiritual formation, which is the process of encountering the presence of God. Growing in faith. Growing in faith does not mean that we just sit around and are passive. We take this time to learn, to study, to reflect, to exercise the disciplines, not to be consumed with the news, with what's happening next or what's happening tomorrow, but to think, this is the moment that God has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in this day. And not to be concerned about yesterday or the next day, even though we consider both of those things. Waiting makes us strong. This is an opportunity to train your mind, your heart, and your spirit. So that's what it means to be strong. But David also says, let your heart take courage. Take heart, take courage. Trust that God is with you, and let him stir your affections for him while you wait. This is the process that Abram and Sarai went through. They went from being people who were scurrying around, just trying to solve the problem in any way they could, to being people who were patiently waiting. They realized that their ill-advised plans did not come to fruition in the way they wanted them to. So they began to trust God in a more deep and profound way. They allowed their hearts to take courage. And we see that God changes them through this process of waiting. He gives them a new identity. He changes their names even. Abram's name goes from Abram, father of many, to Abraham, father of many nations. Through his son Isaac, that's exactly what he became. And in changing his name, he gives him a new identity. He gives him a new understanding of who he is. And God does this with different people in the Bible. Jacob becomes Israel. Saul, in some ways, becomes Paul. Sarai becomes Sarah. It just points us to the relationship that God establishes with those who are waiting on him. For Abraham and Sarah, waiting allowed them to experience God in a new way. And it took 25 years, but God fulfilled the promise in the way that only he could do it. It was going to be impossible in any way that they could conceive of or consider. But he took and brought to life the barren womb of a 100-year-old woman. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing that we're waiting on is impossible for God to do. Nothing that you're struggling with is impossible for God to fix if it's what he wants to do. But part of what God wants to do is to restore us to relationship with him. And that's indeed why we are waiting. You see, God can take what seems hopeless and make it full of joy, even the barren womb of a woman. You know, this promised birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah points us to the birth of another promised one, Jesus. God took another womb, the womb of a virgin, and brought it to life with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, again, did something that only God can do. We see Mary is waiting on the birth of the Messiah. We see her faithfulness. In waiting, her faith is formed. Her heart takes courage. We see that God, in a way, is waiting also. In Galatians, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. It's as though God is saying, I'm waiting for just the right moment to send my son so that my people can come to know me. That God is working out his plans in his time in a way that we often don't anticipate or expect. Sometimes it seems like God is really slow, but in fact, he's doing things according to his plan. 2 Peter says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with one day, the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I mean, think about that. There's a sense in which God is waiting for us to respond to the kindness that he has extended to us. Not that he's sitting back, like wringing his hand, going, oh, I hope that they'll come to me at some point. But rather, he's patiently waiting to allow the difficulty of our circumstances to move us closer to him, to entrust ourselves to him, for us to let our hearts take courage in him. Until that day when we say, yes, Lord, I can trust you with everything. I can trust you with my job. I can trust you with my family. I can trust you in the midst of a global pandemic. See, he's waiting for us to let our hearts take courage in him. I came across this poem that was just moving to me, and I want to read it to you. It's by Russell Kelfer, and it's about waiting. It says this, desperately, helplessly, longingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, he replied. I pleaded and I wept for a clue to my fate, and the master so gently said, child, you must wait. Wait, you say, wait, my indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened or have you not heard? By faith, I have asked, and I'm claiming your word. My future and all to which I can relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me to wait? I'm needing a yes or a go-ahead sign or even a no to which I can resign. And Lord, you've promised if we believe, we need but to ask and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. And quietly, softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taut, and grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel, and his eyes met with mine. And he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens, darken the sun, raise the dead, cause the mountains to run. All you see I could give, and pleased you would be, you would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through the clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence was all you could see. You would never experience that fullness of love as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give and I save for a start, but you'd know not the depth and the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. And you never would know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for that loved one or night could come true, but the loss if you lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gifts is to get to know me. And though oft my answers seem terribly late, most precious answer of all is still wait. Friends, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Train your heart, your mind, your spirit. Gain strength in the Lord by serving, by studying, by living, by loving. Let your heart take courage. Allow God to take hold of your heart. Give to him the concerns you have. Give to him the anxieties you feel. Give him every emotion, every thought, every dream, every hope, every joy. Let your heart take courage and wait. Will you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.